Rebuilding America. The Rick Smith Show. The walls come tumbling down. The walls come crumbling, crumbling. The walls come tumbling, tumbling down.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So on Thursday, the president signed the executive order. Almost another one of those jabs to the heart of the Affordable Care Act, or the dreaded Obamacare. Basically going to rip the subsidies away and also set up a situation where people can pool into associations and offer cheap, crappy plans. Interesting to me. I'm a big pool guy. I'm of the mindset, we should have one really large insurance pool, since basic insurance, risk management, all of that is more people in, less risk, cheaper costs for everybody. Seems kind of sane, seems kind of rational. This is not what the executive order was. But there are some thoughts out there on, things that can be done. And look, I'm not totally opposed to new ideas, but what we saw Thursday in the executive order, I don't think is a good thing. Anyway, here to talk a little bit about healthcare and her most recent article, Healthcare Woes, A Quick Guide to PEOs. I've asked Helene Olin to come and talk with us. She's also the author of Pound Foolish. Helene, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thank you for having me on. And I completely agree with you about the greatest risk pool of them all would be single payer.
Yeah, I mean, it's mind-blowing to me that, we just don't seem to get there. I mean, everyone keeps talking about what we need are large insurance pools. Even Rand Paul is saying, we need a large insurance pool. Why not have a large insurance pool? Seems sane, seems rational.
You would think this would be the moment to push for at least a Medicare expansion, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but again, that would give the Obama legacy a boost if we were to keep any portion of the ACA. And there's part of me that goes, maybe we should just say, the Affordable Care Act, as we know it, is gone. We'll just change the name, slap Trump Care on, slap whatever you want on it, so we can say, they've repealed and replaced it.
Well, I think this puts Democrats and people who want to, protect what we have right now on the defensive. And I really believe that people are not thinking very strategically about this. Because this, I agree with you, this is a massive wrench into the healthcare coverage in the United States. And there's no really a way around that. I know there's a theory out there right now that says that, this is going to actually come back and benefit some people on the exchanges because the subsidies will go up and they'll be able to get better health coverage than they did before. That's probably true, but it's also going to create a lot of new losers, and those people are going to be pretty darn angry.
Yeah, but,
I just don't see it, to be honest.
No, I really
don't see the argument here. I think this is a real, real problem, and the best thing that could happen is if Democrats went on the offensive at this point, instead of simply defending the status quo.
No, I'm with you. I think I think what the Sanders people are doing are right. Look, any basic negotiation, anyone who's sat down at a negotiating table knows you never start your negotiation at what you're willing to accept.
Right.
And
exactly. Democrats have been doing that for several decades.
Absolutely.
Now. And which begs the question of why, right? Because presumably they figured out it doesn't work too.
Maybe that's it. Or maybe they're just playing dumb. I don't know. But, at the end of it, you start off going, I want the sun, the world, and the moon, and I'll settle for just the sun.
Right. Exactly. And that's not what's going on here. But this is a mess. And I think the thing that shows it's a real mess is I was reading, everybody had their take on it this weekend, the Wall Street Journal, Politico, the Washington Post, and so on and so forth, right? Nobody had the same take. Nobody knew if this was going to cause massive damage, little damage, medium damage to the exchanges, which tells you just how much uncertainty is out there. And if there's one thing we know, by the way, health insurers hate uncertainty.
Yep.
They don't price uncertainty. They price risk. And these are two different concepts. And I think people have a hard time grasping that. Risk is how many people are going to sign up and are they going to get sicker than we think? Uncertainty is we're going to change the laws midstream again. And I can see a situation real fast where insurance companies just decide they've had it, they pull out. Keep in mind, they do have to commit in advance, but if they're losing too much money, they can pull out at various points.
Right.
I mean, it's not you're committed to them through the year, but they're not necessarily committed to you all the time. There are different ways about them.
But don't you think that's the point? I mean, I remember during the entire Obama term, and maybe you do too, the Republicans screaming that uncertainty word. That, you know, the taxes are going to go up or whatever it is, regulation, all these onerous regulations, you're creating uncertainty and, businesses they hate uncertainty. Yet here we have a situation where everything that the Republicans have done for 9 months while they've controlled the levers of power have been about creating uncertainty.
Right. Well, this is about destroying the healthcare exchanges, and that's going to do it if they keep going at it. And, I'm of the opinion they were always shakier than advertised anyway, so I'm not going to, give them a huge defense, but they were certainly better than what we had previously. They were certainly a good step forward in terms of working towards universal coverage, and there's certainly no reason to, deliberately jettison them unless you're trying to improve them a la Medicare for All.
Right.
That's not what's going on here. This is massive backtracking.
Oh, absolutely. But, here's the thing. And the American people in the latest Kaiser Foundation health tracking poll came out and said, look, 71% of people polled said they want Congress to work to move the ACA forward to make it better. Just 21% just said, do whatever you got to do to destroy it. When you get 71% of the American people to agree on anything in this polar environment that we're in, the polls are pretty clear.
Right, but that's not – we think we live in a democracy, which is silly of us sometimes, right? In fact, what gives you power in this country in terms of getting your wishes done by Congress is money, and the big donors are very, very angry about the fact that the Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act exchanges are still in existence, and they've let the Republicans know this.
Yeah.
And this is part of what is going on here. And
why they're angry, by the way, is that they're paying for it.
Mm-hmm. And they don't like that.
They don't like that. We're because the mastery. Look, I've said this a million times on the show. I'm not a huge fan of the Affordable Care Act. I think it's a major step in the right direction. It was a first step. And like Medicare back in the 60s, it was that first step. And over the years, it got better. The mastery of it, though, is that it was completely paid for and that they did put taxes on the very wealthy who could afford it and on a whole bunch of other things to make sure that the subsidies and the things were paid for and didn't add to our long-term debt. Yet you've got these people now who are spending a lot of political money and capital saying, we don't want to pay for it anymore. We want our money back, Elaine.
Right. And it seems like on some level they're getting their way. I mean, it is to be determined. Congress could come up with a sort of, savior package and get it through.
And unicorns,
I feel the same way. I mean, these people haven't been able to agree on anything at this point.
Why and unicorns could come this? Dancing down my street.
I think, I do think that's the issue. But, you had me come on to discuss one small article that I did, and I should talk about this for a few minutes, which was totally coincidental because it was for Inc., where I have to write these things a few months in advance, was I wrote about small business and health insurance.
Right.
And one thing that has been somewhat strangely exaggerated in here is the impact of the association plans, right? As we all know, it wasn't on Thursday. It wasn't just that Trump, took away the subsidies to the health insurers. He also gave small businesses the express permission to join together and do a get health insurance through associations that would be exempt from the some of the Obamacare requirements.
Right.
In fact, some of this has been going on already. I sort of stumbled into this a few years ago when I was just asking around about health insurance, and it's called professional employer organizations, and they're more or less doing the same thing, though they are offering much, much better health insurance. And I should say what a professional health employer organization is a organization that essentially takes over human resources for a small business.
Right.
And small business can be defined as, two or three people, or it can be defined as several thousand people in this case. And they basically offer, it's not just health insurance, they offer retirement plans, and they offer up, somebody to manage your human resources department for you and so on and so forth. It's sort of subcontracting the whole thing out. And these organizations have been on a massive growth spurt since the Affordable Care Act went into effect, likely because of the health insurance offerings, which at all points have been significantly better than what's available to small businesses on the exchanges.
Right. You know, as I was reading through it, you know, I was going, this is actually not a bad idea in that you allow, and this is one of these things that I think most people think is already in place, that, you know, small business associations are all over the place and you can, you know, pull in with them and then have a group buy, which, you know, I guess is what they're doing. But I think most people think that's how it's always been.
Right. And it isn't. And I mean, there's, you know, different ways, you know, small businesses can get it on their own. They can go through the exchanges. And in this case, these have been, you know, these are plans that are more or less comparable to what's offered by bigger companies. That's actually one of the reasons small businesses do it, because, of course, it's not free and you have to pay a surcharge to the professional employer organization for this, which can really add up fast, by the way. But for small businesses, this is often a way of being competitive, because when I went out and spoke to a whole bunch, and believe me, they weren't exactly hard to find when I put word out that I was interested in chatting with these people, what I found was that they came to the conclusion they were losing possible employees because they were offering insurance that was not comparable to what a big company would offer. And I should just explain for listeners who don't understand this. Small businesses are generally charged, when they go to get health insurance on their own, a much higher price, and often get less well-designed plans than big employers because, again, the scale, right? The more people you have in the pool, the more effective it is, the more cost-effective it is, right? And so what I found is that these small businesses were turning to the PEOs in part because they were literally losing potential hires because somebody would say, I love you dearly, I want to come with you, but I can't, you know, I can't pay more for health insurance, or I need access to a PPO and you're only offering an HMO. Whereas when you do it through the PEO, you can, the professional employer organization, you can offer access to several plans.
Right. And for those who don't get the EEIO and all of that stuff, you know, the PPO is the a better health insurance plan than the HMO. And I think anybody who's had to deal with healthcare is tired of both of them.
Right. And this seems to help people, or, you know, and certainly the small firms I talked to seemed very happy. The only one, I spoke to a few who had gone backwards and gone out on their own, and the reason wasn't that they were so unhappy as much as they had grown enough that they felt that they could take it on and get a decent plan on their own again.
Right.
Because, again, it does add up. You are paying per employee, per cycle, and at a certain point, if you grow big enough, you want your own human resources department, and you don't want to do that. And these, as I said, they've been on quite the tear. When I spoke to the PEO industry, they felt health insurance was a huge component of it, though I should say it was not the only component of it, because there were a lot of changes during the Obama administration, some of which are now being reversed by Trump, which I could come back on and discuss another time, right?
Yeah, that'd be great.
In terms of pay equity and such, that people were just trying to, you know, subcontract some of the stuff out. So there are other reasons than healthcare that these were growing so much, I should say.
But as I was reading through this, and, you know, I had this thought a couple of years back, that this for me is one of those areas that unions could also get involved in from the human resources part, because, you know, a lot of unions also provide health insurance for members and retirement for members. It just seemed like this could be one of those areas where unions could step in as well and help small businesses by, one, you know, helping to represent some of their employees and get them health care and access to better benefits as well.
Right. And I believe some are, though I would need to double check that. I mean, the real organizations that are doing this are these professional employer organizations. And it's TriNet is one of the biggest ones out there that is doing it right now. And one of the ways, by the way, people access TriNet is as if you sign up to work at WeWork. If you form a corporation, you can, you need, if you have a corporate structure, you then sort of get access into the TriNet system.
Interesting. Something well worth taking a look at if you're a small business owner, for certain. Last question I've got for you. You know, in looking at what the executive order that Trump put forth, does this help or hurt this PEO And does lowering the essential benefits make their plans any better, any cheaper, or do you think it will not affect them?
I think it doesn't affect them because I think the trend has been to use them anyway as the health insurance plans available to small businesses. You know, I think it's sort of one of the underreported stories out there is that, you know, when the exchanges were set up, it was very much promoted as both for individuals and small businesses. Some of the small businesses exchanges have done quite well. Some have, frankly, had real issues. And I think that this is just going to be an ongoing trend in the market in terms of people turning to these plans because they are, you know, the health insurance market itself is just going to continue to be complex. Until we settle on some form of long-term solution of the great pool of us all, right? And I think that as long as that situation continues, that's going to help these organizations.
Yeah, I mean, in all of this, some people are going to do better, some people are going to do worse, and you're going to continue to have this bickering back and forth. And my fear is that we end up having these wide swings, these political swings that are going to create that uncertainty, and then ultimately we're all screwed.
You know, I don't want to go quite that far, but I think that this is a real problem. And the last thing I will say is that nobody pays attention to is that this could ultimately cause, you know, real problems in the employer market, too, because if less people have insurance, the cost for all of us will go up. Because remember, one of the arguments for the Affordable Care Act in the first place was that we were all paying higher rates because so many people did not have health insurance. We were effectively subsidizing them when they went to the emergency room and couldn't pay their bills, right? You remember that?
No, I do remember because I said it a long time. But there's an executive order probably in the works that will say that no one can go to the emergency room. If you don't have insurance, you just die on the street corner.
It won't be that bad, I don't think. Okay. But, I mean, but it will. And I think the part, though, is that this will in turn, you know, one of the things is that the Affordable Care Act did bring some stability in terms of prices to the employer market over the past several years. The chances are that will be a thing of the past if this continues on.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to watch at least. I fear for the worst, but you know, fortunately, you have reined me from the edge a bit, and I appreciate that, Helene.
Well, thank you.
Always great talking with you. Look forward to having you back again real soon.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks so much, Helene Olin. Again, check out her work. It's fantastic stuff. We'll get a link to her latest article on the healthcare woes, a quick guide to PEOs, and maybe it works. Maybe it works. Maybe it does something for you. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
My friend, and the kids locked in the Capitol are fighting till the end. And we're not going to break tonight. And we're not going to bend. Some say the union's down. But I asked around. And everybody said, this is a union town. A union town. All down the line. This is a union town. A union town. All down the line. And if they come to strip our rights away, we'll give them hell every time. This is a union town. A union town. All down the line.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg.